The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Good afternoon to you, Rolene Marx. Double shift today, hey?
A double shift. What can I say? You're getting a double dose of me for the rest of the week.
You'll have absolutely no complaints from this end. Let's talk Israel. Let's talk latest news. Where are we starting? The IDF chief in the U.S. to warn of a possible Iran deal.
Yes, this is the first official trip that Aviv Kochavi has made in his capacity as Israel's chief of staff. And very interestingly, the Knesset voted to extend his term by another year. He's doing a really, really great job, and he has the vote of confidence in the government. But he is in Washington. He's on a four-day visit, and he's holding meetings with the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. Lloyd Austin has been here numerous times. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the head of U.S. Central Command. So all these really important military people, and he's trying to impress upon them the severity and the seriousness of a deal with Iran. Very, very movingly, he placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, a really moving moment. But it's very, very important that he is in Washington having these talks, especially now that we're seeing a regime change in Iran. We have a much more hardline, extreme president-elect in the form of Ibrahim Raisi. We spoke a little bit about him yesterday. He's known as the executioner. Feels no compunction in torturing pregnant women or executing minors and people under the age of 16. He's also stressed that he's not interested and not in a hurry to enter any kind of deal anytime soon. And the Biden administration, as you can imagine, are concerned about this. They wanted to re-enter some kind of nuclear deal with the Iranians, but I think a regime change puts the kibosh on that significantly. But Kochavi is making it clear that he views the 2015 Iran treaty as dangerous, and he's made it very, very clear that he has directed the IDF to prepare operational plans on a number of different areas in order to stop this program.
Wow, serious stuff. So we'll watch that with great interest. Lapid, is he going to make it to the UAE? Bibi didn't,
but Yair Lapid, our foreign minister, his bags are packed, and he will become the first minister to officially visit the UAE on behalf of the State of Israel. And, you know, last week when we also had a regime change, a government change, many were asking the question, well, how does this bode for the Abraham Accords? We heard from the King of Bahrain. We heard from the leaders of the UAE congratulating the new government, congratulating Naftali Bennett. We've heard from the King of Morocco also congratulating Naftali Bennett, also signatory to the Abraham Accords. We also have to remember that in these countries, these are kingdoms, these are monarchies, and it's very, very, very important to the people of those countries that their kings, that their monarchs be respected and held in the highest regard. So we've heard those messages, and now we see the messages loud and clear that our foreign minister is going to make his first official trip as foreign minister and first official minister to the UAE. He also met with the ambassador of the UAE to Israel, Mahmoud Khadaj, in his offices yesterday. Very, very, very well received. And of course, there are many people who I think would have loved to have been in that meeting for various reasons, Simon.
No, I am sure. I wanted to just discuss the issue of the Arab street, so-called Arab street in those particular countries, because I don't know. Is it holding, Rolene? Do you think that those rulers, because let's face it, they're not exactly democratic states, are they in touch with what is going on and the feeling in their streets? And I'm referring specifically to the UAE, Bahrain, and maybe to a lesser extent Morocco, because it's quite different.
No, we're definitely seeing this holding. We can see it, those of us who are on social media, who interact with Emiratis, Bahrainis, Moroccans on a daily basis. This is holding. This hasn't been impacted that much by the recent conflagration in Gaza. Remember, it's as I've just said, it's very, very important to respect the kings, the monarchs of these countries. Mm-hmm. And when you are burning effigies and flags on the Temple Mount, that is seen as a huge insult to these countries. And the people of these countries were also significantly insulted by the stockpiling of rocks in the Al-Aqsa compound and for allowing for there to be riots and the throwing of rocks and firecrackers at police. They might not be jumping up and down and singing Hatikva with regards to what happened last month, but they see it being a significant insult to the holiness of a place like the Al-Aqsa Mosque to use it as a weapon storage facility.
And then this really incredible story, given the Operation Guardians of the Wall, Israel's Clalit, which is an HMO, and a UAE health apparently signing an agreement.
Well, this is it, and there we see the fruits of peace, the day-to-day agreements. Those haven't stopped, even though there was a conflagration between Israel and her neighbors. We also remember during that conflagration heard from the Emiratis saying that if Hamas do not stop their nonsense with rockets, they're going to withhold funding to the Gaza Strip. So I think they're gaining a better understanding of exactly what the challenges from a security perspective are that Israel is facing. And it's also very different when your envoys, when your ambassadors are running for shelter, when rockets are flying towards your embassy.
Ro, because I do still want to talk about the UK boycotting the Conference of Racism, but let's end on that. Let's talk about the fact that 125 new cases of COVID in Israel. We thought you were done with COVID.
So did we, but the health ministry is saying not to panic, that these are very, very contained cases. We know exactly where they come from. They come from several naughty individuals who went abroad and did not come back in quarantine as per the law, and they are being dealt with as per the law. This will not be tolerated. But what it has resulted in is a significant increase in the testing of COVID at the airport. We will be setting up testing stations at Ben Gurion Airport. You will be required to mask up now in Ben Gurion Airport. That's legislation that we are going to see instituted until these infections come down. It is amongst school kids and teachers, so we know exactly where it comes from. One of those cases is here in Modi Inn, and the perpetrator, because we're going to call him that, is going to be prosecuted by law for breaking the law and for not quarantining and for putting people's lives in danger. Having said that, we are significantly increasing the vaccination rollout with teenagers across the country. So this is very, very, very contained. We know the areas where this has happened. They are under restriction. We've been told not to panic, and the rest of the country is business as usual.
Let's end it this afternoon with a discussion on the fact that the UK is planning on boycotting a UN conference on racism.
Well, we all remember the 2001 UN Conference on Racism in Durban, which descended into anti-Semitic chaos and also firmly put BDS into the global consciousness. Many countries walked out of that conference. Now, the 20th anniversary is coming up on the 22nd of September. The US, Canada, and Australia already at the outset said, no, thank you, we won't be attending. And now the UK are saying that as well. They say their concern is the level of anti-Semitic rhetoric, and they will not participate in a conference on racism that allows for such hate speech to take place. So really a firm stand being taken by these countries. We hope other countries will follow suit and boycott this event.
Rolene Marks, toda rabba lach. Particularly interesting, and we'll chat again tomorrow, you and I.
You and I and my large cup of coffee.
And your large cup of coffee.